And I'm like, I'm up. I'm a practicing Arab. Mm-hmm. I'm not practicing Islam. I'm practicing Arabism.
If you're sincere, you ask the universe for what you want, you get it.
With Mike Tyson's experience at one point.
Why do I gotta learn Arab language to worship God? Why do I gotta eat like the Arab to worship God? Why do I gotta dress like the Arab to worship God? This is not the worship of God. This is the deification of Arabic culture.
You as a Christian and now singing and dancing in right. the churches, but now...
You don't believe that you're not, your ultimate fate is not gonna be under the ground in the dirt. Then as we say, go and do as you please.
So what's the primary difference now between Islam and Christianity?
Go and pray. Go and give your thanks to pray. If he was God, he wouldn't. That's what you're telling the kids.
Yeah.
You know, so forget Jesus for now. Let's
you just make up stuff as you go along.
Yeah,
your own religion.
Ask around. Ask Christians. Practicing Christians. Why are you here?
Are we talking about the universe? Asking the universe. I was just thinking the same thing.
Yeah, we dance around with Allah. So
dance around with Allah.
Yeah.
At one point, he's with Badu Jack, mm-hmm. and they're praying together. Mm-hmm. The story was that he was very powerful. He was even, some say, bigger than, could have been bigger than Malcolm X.
Mm-hmm. On his level of celebrity, too.
Because he didn't say, like, no, I don't want to pray. When they were praying again, he went to pray.
Right.
This is the danger.
Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Zaki.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh. How have you been?
Alhamdulillah, my brother. How are you?
It's good to meet up with you again. It's been a while.
It has.
So we were just talking, catching up. You said, well, 30 years. 30 years passed that quickly since you accepted Islam.
Yes.
You're a medical doctor by profession?
Correct, yes.
How have those 30 years been now? When you reflect, you go back to the moment. You're previously a Christian?
Yes, sir.
What denomination? Catholic, Baptist, Protestant?
Really none, to be honest. Yeah. I would find myself at different churches depending on which family I was with, what was going on at the time.
Depending what family you're with? What do you mean?
Well, we didn't go to church on a regular basis ourselves in our household. So if I was visiting family...
Oh.
That kind of thing. They may be of the Baptist faith or something like that. Sometimes I went to a Catholic church. So it was pretty much that was it.
A lot of singing and dancing?
A lot of singing and dancing.
Some people are thinking.
Collecting.
Some people are like, well, don't you guys do the same thing in the mosque?
Right.
Singing and dancing?
Right. Absolutely not.
Uh-huh.
No.
But were you taking the fun out of it?
Well, Islam came to change the perspective on just about everything, including mm-hmm. fun.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So we can't have no fun?
No, we can have fun, but we do it with a different lens, right? Mm-hmm. Our fun, everything we do is matched against our ultimate purpose for even being here,
mm-hmm.
right? So if we take our purpose for being here is to have as much fun as possible before we pass away, before death comes, then yes, you know. But when we know what our purpose is and what's waiting for us, you know, as Muslims, we're taught our purpose is to get to know who Allah is, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who's the most merciful, the most kind. And to know that we didn't deserve this, we didn't ask to be here, but he gave us life and then gave us the guidance. As Muslims, you know, we're guided by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so, and the Quran and all these things. So when we get to know and get aligned with why we're here and what's waiting for us, right, what's waiting for us back home? We're all going back home to meet Allah, hopefully in Jannah.
When you say Allah, for the person now, they think, okay, what do you mean? Who is Allah? That's your moon god? That's your Arab god?
Right. So, loosely speaking, in our language, in the English language, we will say God very loosely. God could mean anything. Someone could say, oh, he's the god of hip hop. If he started,
he's the god of hip hop.
Right. And also somebody who
people say that.
Yeah, you hear people
rappers
say all kinds of things.
Wow.
Right? So, but when we say the God. Right, Allah, the one and only, by definition. We're talking about the one who created the heavens and the earth, the one who sent down revelation, right? The one who sent down prophets from time to time, the one who sends down angels, the one who's created everything that exists, the one who has no beginning, the one who has no ending, the one who was not born, the one who will not die, the compeller, the one who mends things together, the one who's most appreciative of every little thing, the one who's all watchful of everything, the one who can see everything, the one who can, that one, that's who Allah is. And mm-hmm. that when we look into those definitions, we'll see no one will ever be able to have those names and attributes inherently.
Mm-hmm. Right. Beautiful. So continue on from there. When you said Allah, you were making a point.
Lost my train of thought there.
Yeah, you were talking about that. Yes, I...
So when you said, when we say who Allah is,
yes,
that's who Allah is. We're mm-hmm. talking about that one.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
redefining what fun is, redefining now you as a Christian, and now singing and dancing in right. the churches, but now I asked you, people think, oh, you don't do that in the mosque?
Right. Said, no. Right. So when we have access now to who Allah is, we naturally have access to His words. And His words is found in the Quran, like you said, tamper-free, tamper-proof, right? Mm-hmm. This is the original words of Allah. And that's why when you listen to the Quran, it sounds so beautiful, so melodious. It sounds like almost like it's singing. You get to know what it means, what's it saying. That produces a certain level of joy for you. And then when you find that yourself, even though it's not your native tongue, that you can, through God's help, learn how to pronounce and learn how to recite this Quran. That's fun, right? So now we know, why is it fun? Because we know for sure that it's being counted for us on that ultimate day that's coming,
mm-hmm.
right? So we were talking about the loss of our family members most recently, and even in our sorrow moments, we're able to extract, you know, because if you don't believe that you're not, your ultimate fate is not gonna be under the ground in the dirt, then as we say, go and do as you please. If you honestly feel as though you're gonna live forever and that you were given all these good faculties without any accountability, if you think that makes sense to you, then do as you please, live as you please. But that doesn't make sense, and we're taught in our book that we are definitely here for a purpose. That purpose is to get to know who Allah is so we can worship Him, because we will inevitably meet with Him, right? We all belong to Him, that's where we're going back to.
Mm-hmm. So what's the primary difference now between Islam and Christianity, that way of life, the religion you were upon before?
Mm. So,
because someone might say, why don't you just do the same thing and call yourself a Christian?
Right. So there's nowhere in the Bible, for instance, that says that we should worship Jesus, that we should carve Him out and worship Him. Right. In our book, the Quran, we are taught by every page to develop a relationship with God Almighty. We're called to have a relationship because Allah is speaking about Himself on every page. And as Muslims, we believe in the Bible, but we know, and it's been tampered with. We don't have the original script, right? So in the way that Christians practice, it doesn't call us to have a unique relationship, a direct relationship with God Almighty. Right, it tells us, it teaches us to compromise that and have an intervening factor, if you will, through Jesus Christ, peace and blessings be upon Him. Right, whereas He didn't do that Himself. He taught that to worship the way I worship, and I'm worshiping one God. Right, so when people are coming up to Him, asking Him to pray, He's telling them to go and pray. Go and give your thanks to pray. If He was God, why would He tell them to go somewhere else to pray?
Mm-hmm.
Pray in front of me. Pray to me. He's never said that. And He would never say anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
What about if someone says, no, but He did. He did say, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one comes to the Father except through me. Before Abraham was, I am.
Mm-hmm. Right. So His example is what's to be followed. And that's mm-hmm. consistent with our belief mm-hmm. as Muslims. You know, Allah, God Almighty, has sent down messengers and prophets to be an example to mankind, right? So, and it gave them particular miracles so that they would be believable, so that not anyone could just say, hey, I'm a prophet of God, follow me, right? And so in the case of Jesus, of course, He had special knowledge of the unseen. He had healing abilities. Right, because this was the time during the time that He lived, the doctors were kind of like the experts in society, right? So Allah always gives the appropriate gift, if you will, miraculous nature to the prophet in conjunction or in coordinates with what's happening during the time. Because during the time of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, the language was the big thing, the Arabic language. They had a lot of poets there. And so Allah gave him the Quran, the linguistic miracle mm-hmm. that it is. So, but no, back to Jesus, you know, we always say for Christians exploring Islam or coming to Islam will love Jesus even more.
You'll love Jesus even more yeah. as a Muslim?
Of course, because you're knowing him for the truth.
Yeah.
You know, you're mm-hmm. learning about his life the way it actually unfolded, you know, unadulterated, the truth. You know, another thing we find strange about the Christian faith, again, not to pick fun at any particular person, just making an honest assessment mm-hmm. of being honest or not so honest with our children. So we're taught throughout the year to worship Jesus, right? And then maybe a month or two before Christmas, we start basically worshiping Santa Claus. That's what you're telling the kids.
Yeah.
You know, so forget Jesus for now. Let's all sit on Santa Claus's lap. You know, how confusing would that be to a child?
Mm-hmm.
Where did Santa Claus come from? Like, how does he fit into the Christian doctrine? You know, he doesn't. So it's hard to really have a good time or have fun when you delve back a little bit and start looking at things factually with the mm-hmm. faith.
You have a lot of experience. 30 years is a lot of experience. Many have a hard time, and we spoke about this with Mike Tyson's experience at one point, and how him being disenfranchised with, what was it, at that point where you were giving a khutbah, a sermon at a mosque in Vegas, mm-hmm. and I think yeah. it was the one that he attended also. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he was there at the same time.
No, he
wasn't. And then what happened was he was speaking about his experience with the masjid, something like that.
Yeah, being disillusioned by some of the activity that happens in the masjid, the isolation, maybe the cultural differences, etc.
And converts generally, some have a hard time adjusting and whatnot. And
right.
And there's that statement, thank God that I got to know Islam before I met a Muslim. Have you
heard? Right.
Because some Muslims obviously don't do the best job at living Islam properly.
Right.
So they
yeah.
just screw it up.
Right. But it's a two-way street, too, because some people will say, well, if they were really serious about being Muslim, they wouldn't run away so fast. And we have to be careful not to be so self-righteous and take the halos off of our heads if we come with an approach that way, because especially for us reverts who grew up in this country, this is a jungle. I mean, mm-hmm. you're like 180 degrees. Even the question you asked me, about having fun, it's like 180 degrees diametrically opposed to what we think is fun as a non-Muslim, as a Muslim. The perspective and everything changes. But we should be a little bit more kind and patient with those who are reverting and not to be so much judgmental, because it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the easiest and fastest and most effective way to stay on course is doing what we just talked about, and that's Allah, and going through his attributes.
Mm-hmm.
That's a powerful thing, because we can't worship Allah if we don't know him. We're praying five times a day. We have to know who we're praying to, right? And so this is the best, most fruitful way. Get to know who he is, get to know his attributes, how he speaks of himself, how he praises himself, and how this book cannot be of, you know, look at the language in there. He's putting out a challenge, an open challenge. If anyone could come up with even a verse similar to this, and go get all the help you can. No one would write such, you know, mm-hmm. a book with that sort of language.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. Someone might look at you now and say, "What? Okay, you're from African American descent, or your background American, whatever the case. How you like to represent yourself when asked?"
Mm-hmm.
But then someone say, "What? I have to become an Arab? How would you explain that?" And before you do, we covered this a while ago with this clip, but I think it's relevant for this question. So I want to first show you this clip.
Okay.
You might know this individual, and just to dispel this stereotype that he's actually representing here, and see how you would go ahead and respond to it.
Sure.
completely ignored black people's problems. We completely ignored black culture. We completely ignored the black reality. It was all Islam. Learn your Arabic. And I'm like, I'm a practicing Arab. Mm-hmm. I'm not practicing Islam. I'm practicing Arabism. Why do I got to learn Arab language to worship God? Why do I got to eat like the Arab to worship God? Why do I got to dress like the Arab to worship God? This is not the worship of God. This is the deification of Arabic culture. Mm-hmm. And that's why I walked away from it.
You know who Umar Johnson is?
Yeah.
You heard of him?
Yeah, I heard of him. Never met him, but I heard of him.
So what'd you think?
Well, so he calls himself a Pan-Africanist. So he's definitely a national...
Pan-Africanist.
Yes.
For people that never heard this word for the first time, what does that mean? Pan-Africanist.
Those are people who have taken Africa as their center paradigm.
Yeah.
And throughout the world, wherever African people find themselves, whether it be in the Caribbean... in the East, the West, Asia. So we have an African identity that's to be upheld pretty much ideologically, socially, economically, has to look through that lens, you know, regardless.
And gotcha.
But he's a very intellectual person, very smart, very well read. And his criticism, I was just talking to somebody about this maybe a few weeks ago, about Islam is always... about those kind of cultural things that can be dispensed super easily.
Yeah.
Because as Muslims, it's taught very clear how we're to practice, and that is to follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's the best of examples. Mm-hmm. And so all the tenets of what we need to do as Muslims, whether it be to pray five times a day, he mentioned something about the dress. Our dress is to dress modestly, right? There's certain things as a woman should be covered and certain things as a man should be covered. Outside of that, we dress conservatively and, and clean, etc. Right? And as far as food choice, again, these are all common misconceptions because people know that...
Do you only eat biryani? No, that's an that's an Indian dish.
Right.
Do you?
We have a...
Do you only eat Arabic food?
Right. No, of course not. Right. It's like a lot of Arabs, you know, we're probably the most diverse people on the planet when it comes to that functional living.
Yeah.
Go to look at Hajj is the best example.
Do you ever wear a suit?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a physician. So sometimes I find myself wearing suits. Sometimes I wear sweatsuits if I'm going to train, you know, there's not anything wrong with that, you know, but they take a lot of these and I understand it because we were raised in such culturally aggressive environments that culture and race were brought into our environments despite the fact that we didn't necessarily want that to happen. And so if we're at the bottom end of that stick, I can see the response. Let's go at it. And that's a never-ending battle. You can go, and that's why it's not really fixing anything. And even to expound a little bit further, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Islam is the only system that's ever, ever destroyed racism in its fundamental, you know, at its root and core, you know.
Did he say African spirituality, something like that?
Did he say that?
Yeah, that he follows. What does he follow now? He follows.
Yeah, I don't know if he said that, but it's something similar.
But I had to walk away. Because I saw how we completely ignored black people's problems. We completely ignored black culture. We completely ignored the black reality. It was all Islam. Learn your Arabic. And I'm like, I'm a practicing Arab. I'm not practicing Islam. I'm practicing Arabism. Why do I got to learn Arab language to worship God? Why do I got to eat like the Arab to worship God? Why do I got to dress like the Arab to worship God? This is not the worship of God. This is the deification of Arabic culture. And that's why I walked away from it. And now African spirituality is my foundation.
That's what African spirituality.
African spirituality. So,
yeah. What is that?
I don't know. It's one of those terms.
You just make up stuff as you go along?
Yeah.
Your own religion?
You can find something to fill in the blank for it or just define it yourself. But the fact that you're saying spirituality and knowing most people like him who are well-read like them, they know there's something greater than us. And so everyone wants to toy around at the top. It's either there's only one God or there's not. God exists or he doesn't exist. You know, and that's one of the ultimate things I love about the religion of Islam is that we could toy around with certain things, but the reality is we have to come to fundamental answers to some basic questions that not many religions ask around. Ask Christians, practicing Christians, why are you here? You know, why did God create you? Who is God? These are basic questions. Who is God? Mm-hmm. What's his name? You know, why did he create us? You know, and Islam is the only one who answers these questions emphatically with evidence, you know, very clearly. God is one. He's not three. He doesn't have, he's not the child or the father. You know, he wasn't born. Everything by definition that is born must die.
Yes.
Right? By definition. So, and he doesn't die. He wasn't born. And his traits that he has are inherent parts of who he is. They weren't given to him and they won't be taken away from him. He's the all seeing today. It doesn't mean tomorrow he won't be all seeing. He's always all seeing, you know, so we can't fathom who he is in his truth, but we can become of awe of him. Mm-hmm. We have no choice but to become in awe of him the more we get to know him.
Mm-hmm. I keep thinking about Mike Tyson because we spoke about him a lot last time we met, so it's kind of triggering a memory bank here. And I saw something that I wanted to discuss one time. I put it in my to-do because I watched, someone sent me something from Mike Tyson. I thought, okay, maybe now is a good time. So I want to show this clip to you because we're talking about worshiping one God, worshiping the creator, not the creation, pure monotheism. And maybe this can be of help to Mike Tyson. How would you address this subject if you were sitting with him, or if, you know, hopefully we get this to him? Just get your reaction to what he says here. So he's describing his life with his former coach.
That was his job, just to create fighters. And he told me one time, because one time I said some stupid stuff, wow, I can't believe I'm here, man. I come from such blood, I'm from the sewage, and I'm here. And he said this, he said, I summoned you. I didn't understand the universe then. If you're sincere, you ask the universe for what you want, you get it. He said, I wanted you to be the greatest fighter since the beginning of life. I had such low self-esteem when I met, because Pastor always say, I need you to look in that mirror and fall in love with yourself. You need to fall in love with yourself, because the more you love yourself, the harder it is for you to be beaten. This man made me the most famous person in the world.
What do you think? I see people who, you heard what he was talking about. If you're sincere and you ask, so someone might think he's Muslim. You're Muslim. Are we talking about the universe, asking the universe for guidance?
Right. No, we only ask Allah.
The creator. Who created the universe?
Allah, the creator of everything.
Yeah. What do you think of that?
Again, that's a safe way. Again, people dance around.
I was just thinking the same thing.
Yeah, we dance around with Allah. So
dance around with Allah.
Yeah, it's a simple thing. Just, you know.
Wow, I was thinking the same thing. People who get up in that position now and they're scared to, like, you know, mention the creator.
Right. It's amazing. You're acknowledging, and it's so easy to acknowledge, inherently a part of us is to acknowledge our Lord. You know, Allah says in the Quran, if in some verse, paraphrasing, if you found yourself lost at sea, right? You're on a boat, and the boat's tipping over, and the first thing you say, "Oh my God," this is what's going to naturally come out of. You can be a person who never worshipped, never prayed. You hear people all the time in natural disasters, a tornado's coming, and people are filming it. You always hear people in the background saying, "Well, oh my God." Oh my God, that's amazing, or for whatever the expression is. You know, as superficial as that may sound to the most serious things, we all have an inherent connection to reaching out and asking for our needs from an understanding there's a power much, much greater than us and than everything that exists. For us Muslims, we call that's Allah.
And we want the best for Mike. I mean, Mike, I've interviewed also his manager, great brother, Brother Abdullah, and he has great things to say about Mike, obviously. And Mike Tyson, when he's around practicing brothers, you can see him at one point, he's with Badu Jack, and they're praying together. So I think, you know, company really is important.
Right.
He needs to be around good brothers who remind him, because it awakens that goodness that's in him that he originally came to. But at the same time, this is just because, you know, people who play this word game, words are very powerful, and we know in Islam, we cannot joke with these things.
Right.
Like a man can say one word and divorce his wife.
Mm-hmm.
You say, I was joking. No, it's no joke. Right. Oh, you know what I meant? No, this is a word.
Yes.
Right? You could say one word and end up being exalted to the highest levels with Allah, but at the same time, you can be thrown to the depths of the hellfire. Yep. What do you think?
Absolutely. 100%. Who's the universe? And the same thing now with AI.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're paying attributing a lot of these technological advances and being praiseworthy of them, but what's about Allah? You know, where's the praise for Allah? Where's the acknowledgement of who Allah is?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we have to be careful that we don't attribute things, our gratitude, our sense of attention and direction of thought and focus on other than Him.
Yeah.
You know.
The same way you can't say Allah, the Creator, is Jesus.
Right.
Same way you can't say the Creator Allah is Muhammad, the Creator Allah is the Son, the Creator Allah is a human being, a saint. No, the Creator Allah is the universe.
Right, right.
No, Allah created the universe.
Exactly, right.
Very simple, basic.
Very simple.
Yeah.
Yeah, very simple.
But I've heard this not just from him, from others, just kind of people who are celebrities and they kind of want to stay neutral, mm-hmm. so they don't want to offend nobody. So be like, oh, I thank the universe. What are you doing? A shirk.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, the universe hasn't even taken credit for it.
No.
Yeah. So
it was another interesting thing before we conclude that there was another pioneer that he was somebody during Malcolm's time that you were telling me about. He got incarcerated for a crime that he didn't commit.
Yeah.
And he's actually buried. Your mother's buried right next to him.
Yeah.
This is... Imam Jamil.
Yes, yeah, Jamil Al-Amin, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he goes by the name Rap Brown.
Yeah, H. Rap Brown.
H. Rap Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was interesting that your mother, and that, it can go even deeper, your mother actually also was a Christian.
Right.
And towards the end of her life, she actually took her shahada.
Yes.
She declared there's nothing worthy of worship except for those that don't know what the shahada is. There's nothing worthy of worship except the Creator Allah.
Yes.
And Muhammad is the final messenger. And this would automatically include Jesus as a messenger. We're not excluding him.
Right.
Moses and Ishmael, Isaac, Noah, Abraham, and the list goes on.
Yes.
I love that, how it makes, you can put a chronological order.
Yes.
All the way to that concept of submission to the will of God.
Yes.
All the way from the first man, Adam.
Yeah.
So she realized the truth. She accepted Islam.
Yeah.
And then may Allah grant her Jannah. She passed away recently. That was at how long? A few years ago?
Yeah, September 26th, last year in the fall. And then literally almost 3 months, 3 days short of 3 months later, our brother Jamil Al-Amin. Died in jail in custody, being falsely accused of murder of a police officer, my understanding it is, and the proof was vehemently out there that he was innocent. But despite all the attempts to free him from custody, you know, it was Allah's will that he died in prison, a dignified death. And he spoke out, you know, and was as strong as ever, according to family, you know, close family and friends. And so we were delighted to hear that he was being flown here, because we know that his religious background and headquarters were in outside of Atlanta. And so I wasn't able to attend the janazah down in South Florida. I was out of town on business. But when I went to visit my mother, the last time was around Mother's Day. I went down there to give salams, and I noticed looking over that his tombstone, or his headstone rather, was right there next to hers.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about my mom. I said, man, subhanAllah, Allah wrote for her some things that she probably didn't even know about. But we never know what dua is going to be answered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't know what small thing that we'll do that Allah will accept.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and my mom, being an immigrant mother from Jamaica, coming here at a young age, raising four children on her own, and the life of hard work that she undertook, could have never imagined that at 83, when she's at the tail end of her life, Christian her whole life, and then to take Shahada at age 83 and shortly thereafter start to lose her faculties of cognition and ultimately had Alzheimer's disease of a high stage towards the end of her death. I mean, she became totally dependent on others, a fiercely independent woman who needed help to go to the bathroom, needed help to eat, needed the help to get cleaned up, you know, and then to die at home with her son, you know, who she helped to become a doctor. This is all gifts from Allah. We say alhamdulillah for all of these things.
Amazing
and,
stories.
And there were brothers and sisters that came by. We were listening to dhikr. Brothers were reciting Quran. My mom didn't know how to recite Quran. She hadn't even got to pray Fatiha, you know, et cetera, the opening chapter of the Quran. But she's getting all of these rewards.
SubhanAllah.
Right? She's getting all, and her janazah was packed with Muslims, you know, men and women who were, some of them, a lot of them never met her, praying on her.
So if we can get this footage, if we find it and we get it up of the Imam Jamil's, Rap Brown, his funeral, that area, your mother is right there. That's what a coincidence.
Yeah.
It's another coincidence. Look at that. It's amazing. They're buried.
I have footage from mine. I'll send it to you as well. You can see. But it's for a man of that stature and the deen, you know, who sacrificed so much, you know, it's nice to know that, you know, he's buried here. And, you know,
I wanted to mention him because I didn't know about him. Mm-hmm. I didn't know much about him. And then I heard from a few people, you know, obviously that this was the story was that he was very powerful. He was even, some say, could have been bigger than Malcolm X.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to suppress that.
Right, right.
Did you hear the same thing?
Yeah, yeah.
And that he was somebody also who was speaking out vehemently against the aggression, the attack on Bosnians in Bosnia.
Yes, yeah.
He was organizing protests.
He was a strong, strong leader who believed in family, believed in Islam vehemently. And stood strong and spoke the truth, and unfortunately, this is what happens. Or fortunately, again, we say alhamdulillah in all conditions because we have documented proofs of giants, not just overseas but here in this country of people who are taking Islam seriously and trying their best to advance it. You know?
Yeah, if there's anybody out there from his family or other historian, people who really know his life, please get in touch with us. We'd like to speak more on about him, get to know him. And thank you for mentioning him, his story with your grandmother.
Yeah,
message to Mike Tyson, Universe.
Please come talk to us.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, come back to the Dean if you haven't left it already. I believe he's a Muslim at heart anyway.
Yeah,
he's been to Hajj, he's been to Umrah, I understand it. And it could just be, like you said, the company.
Yeah.
You know, it could be the company. I think a good person
Get with Abdul, the boxer.
You know who I was going to say?
Jack.
Hakeem Olajuwon.
Hakeem Olajuwon.
The basketball player.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Get with the brother Abdullah and Abu Jack and get with the brothers. And this brother you're talking about, you got to be around good practicing brothers,
right? On his level, and he goes, of celebrity too,
because he didn't say like, no, I don't want to pray. When they were praying again, he went to pray,
right?
But then you get affected with the people, the environment. You know, you become like who you hang out, birds of a feather. Now you're hanging around with the people who really you're more concerned about what they're going to say. And,
I think celebrity Muslims who happen to hold it down will be a good guide for him because they live a different life. Let's face it, they're so used to the celebrity aspect of their life. Who knows how?
You heard of brother Badu Jack? That's what Badu Jack?
No.
Yeah, he's a really good practicing brother. Good brother. He knows him. They know each other.
Okay.
Yeah, but when he's with those brothers, then they pray. They call him. He's right in line.
Well, right in.
So that's companionship.
Yeah. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. All right, thank you. And then we take away. What can you give of advice to someone like yourself, former Christian, Muslim for 30 years? practicing medical doctor. So obviously you took an analytical scientific approach. You really, what was it about Islam that finally had you accept it?
Ultimately, I would say it's the prayer, just mm-hmm. witnessing it mm-hmm. visually. I think the most superficial thing for me, for my heart to change, was the visualization of Muslims praying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just speaks volumes
mm-hmm.
that everyone's lined up praying in the same fashion, you know, going down to bend down together, standing up together. Allahu Akbar, everybody moves. Sami Allahu liman hamida. You know, Allah has heard those ones who praise Him. And right away, He said, Rabbana wa lak alhamd. You know, the structure of the prayer, the connection, it's unique. And when I saw it for the first time, my heart melted, you know, just from the visualization of it, not knowing what was being said. It's just like, whoa, that looks pretty heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And then intellectually, I think studying the human body, biophysiology, biochemistry, you're witnessing things that you know is of a higher order. You can't come to any, I guess you could come to multiple conclusions,
mm-hmm.
but for me, thankfully, Allah told me, no, there's only one conclusion. I set all this up.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just our bodies, right? When we go off into an airplane and we go up and up and up, we start to see how meaningless, you know, we're just little specks, right? And if you keep going more, we're even less than that.
Yeah.
So, but even our bodies, as that be made what it is that it's still so complex, so full of many perfectly moving parts, reactions that seamlessly work together in harmony, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there's trillions of us. So I think, you know, from that point of view, it's, you couldn't help but get close to who, you know, get to know who Allah is,
mm-hmm.
and love Him, you know, for that.
For the new converts, reverts, those who are having a hard time, you've got so much experience now, 30 mm-hmm. years, you've kept with it. But those who now use the excuse, or I understand they deal with some Muslims, and you have on one side Muslims who are just amazing, the most honest, trustworthy people. You have others, like in any community, who do not set the best example, and they use that as now
right.
as excuse, how right. they've been treated, some masjids, whatever the case. You've been through pretty right. much all of it, almost.
Yeah. I'm hoping to put together two manuscripts. One is to introduce people to Islam, kind of almost to mirror what you're doing on this platform, you know, and just inviting people to Islam, come to Islam, and then a companion one. Once you've come and embrace Islam, welcome to Islam. I think to answer your question is to get to know who Allah is. Just, I can't emphasize that enough. Learn His attributes, read the Quran, don't rush yourself. Really ask the questions, what does this name of Allah mean? How can I incorporate it into my life? How can I be a better Muslim through this particular name? And you can't help but be positive with that. And of course, try to get in good study groups with the people. Normally in the masjid, there's a people of Fajr, you know, and those people are typically the people they get with. Fajr is the first prayer of the day. And so it may be difficult to get up at that time and make an effort, but that says a lot about the people who consistently do it,
mm-hmm.
right? And so even if you can't do it with your work schedule, try your best to get in to pray Salatul Fajr in the masjid, and even Isha as well, at the beginning and the end of the days. But, you know, find the good people who are there regularly. But for independent study, independent motivation to keep encouraged, it's go to Allah, because mm-hmm. you're never alone.
Yeah. And final question, people have been hearing about this project, the Deen Center. You actually now are here, you've been in khutbah.
Mm-hmm.
What are your impressions? What are your thoughts?
Alhamdulillah. That's what I mentioned before. That was the title of the khutbah, is because that's all I could hear. Coming through my heart when I saw this place, a beautiful facility, lots of land. I think the leadership that has been promoted through the Dean Show and the platform is emanating through here, and that is being inclusive and really getting the word out on a bigger level. This religion is here to stay, and it's for everybody, you know. And may Allah Ta'ala preserve it. May Allah Ta'ala give maximum rewards to everybody who's participated and continues to participate. I understand there's still a lot of work to be done, but the future of this place, I feel in my heart, is going to be enormous, you know, enormous.
Thank you, Dr. Zaki. Thank you very much. Alhamdulillah. Allah bless you, reward you. Jazakallah khair.
Wa iyyakum habibi.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.